Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 16 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, and as I've been telling you, going to have the opportunity and privilege to make a new acquaintance for me and a candidate for governor, Brad Sherman, with me this morning. Mr. Sherman, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Aaron.
It's a pleasure to get to visit with you, make a new acquaintance, and learn a little bit more about someone that could potentially be the next governor of Iowa. So thanks for taking a few minutes with me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So, Mr. Sherman, I've been doing a little research when I knew we were going to have the opportunity to visit this morning, but let's kind of go back a little bit, Mr. Sherman. So where are you from? Tell me a little bit of your background and some of your history here, just to get to know you a little bit.
Okay, well, most people know me as a pastor. I've been a pastor in the Iowa City area since 1981. That's 44 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I moved to Iowa City probably, like I said, it was in January. I think it was January the 10th, 1981. And so when we moved there, we saw a lot of things happening at the University of Iowa that we felt like were, anti-American. And that's 44 years ago, A lot of socialism, Marxism. We saw it openly being promoted. And so that really kicked us off into a desire and a action into trying to educate people about the principles that this nation was founded on, where our freedoms came from, and that sort of thing. So I've done seminars all around the Midwest, actually, and around Iowa, trying to encourage people on that. And one of the quotes I always remember is George Mason, who's the father of the Bill of Rights. He said, if free people do not examine their liberties and how they were obtained, they risk losing these rights. So that's kind of the foundational understanding of that. And I've done some other things as well. I've done some home building, some real estate development, been involved in pro-life work and helped found pro-life organizations to protect the unborn, been involved in politics, I've been a county chair, and then, of course, served in the legislature as well.
You were in the 90th General Assembly, correct, as a state representative?
That's right.
From up in the Iowa City area. So, obviously, tell me if I overstate here, Mr. Sherman, but faith is a big part of your life.
Yeah, yes, it is. Declaration of Independence, makes it very clear, that we're endowed with our Creator, with certain unalienable rights by our Creator. So, and then it says the purpose of government is to protect those, or to protect those rights, or to secure those rights. So right in our birth certificate of our nation, we have this very clear statement that our rights come from God, not government. And the purpose of government is to protect those rights.
Yeah.
So that's the underlying principle of what I believe when it comes to government. Government was God's idea in the first place. Our Constitution, the first three articles of the United States Constitution is shaped, the division, the separation of powers is based on Isaiah 33:22. There's, when you study this, it's undeniable. And these are important foundations. And of course, one of the questions that comes up, that people say, well, are you trying to push Christianity on people? And we certainly never want to force faith or Christianity on anybody. If we did, it wouldn't be Christianity anymore.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we're supposed to sit down and shut up and not stand up for the values that we believe provide the freedom that we've enjoyed.
I think one of the things, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to get off base here a little bit, Mr. Sherman. You're going down one of my areas. I have the opportunity to visit with some churches from time to time here on air and keeping up with what's going on in our culture. And there's a lot that needs addressing in our culture, to be honest with you. But it seems to me that there has been recent renewal, maybe some recent, in the last few years, interest, I'll say, in Christianity and being a Christ follower. And that's, to me, encouraging anyway. We have a long way to go. Don't mistake what I'm saying, but there seems to be maybe a bit of a resurgence in that. And I certainly hope that's the case.
Well, yeah, I see that too. And, as I've been going around the state, we've done 80 meetings since we announced our campaign in February, latter part of February. And we've done probably around 80 meetings so far in 44 different counties. And part of my story is that when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and the same night I met my wife, and we got married 5 months later, and we've been walking with the Lord ever since. That whenever I tell that story, there's always a positive response.
Yeah,
and I've been noticing that when other people talk about their faith in our Lord, it's like there's a I would say 80% of the people in the political conventions that I've been to respond with a ovation.
Yeah.
And so there, and then of course you learn about what's happening with Turning Point USA, a powerful organization. There's just thousands of young people, this new generation, mm-hmm. having a new and renewed interest mm-hmm. in God, you know. And so, yeah, there is a shift happening, you know. I just think people are tired of the whole woke culture and, you know, people that don't know how to define what a woman is and, you know, the moral depravity we've been seeing is, you know, people are just saying, you know, this is not the route to go on.
Let's talk about politics for a minute. Now, you were, like I said, you were a state representative in the 90th General Assembly. Piece of legislation that you're particularly proud of from that assembly that you'd point to and say, this is how I want to be governor, pointing at a piece of legislation you've been involved in. What would that be?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Mark Thompson, Representative Mark Thompson, wrote the bill, but I was a co-sponsor on the bill and increased the penalty for human traffickers to the highest level, the most strict level of a felony. It used to be just the lowest level, and because human trafficking has become it has been a problem for some time, but we're becoming more and more aware of it, and there's a lot of activity going on now to expose it. So this is a huge one. I'm really, really proud of that. Of course, voting for the heartbeat bill was something I'm really proud of. I think, you know, we had a special session during the summer that year to re-pass that bill. And so that was the summer of 23. And so that's a big one. I think the heartbeat bill is great. It saves some lives, but we've got a lot more work to do. Now we've got the abortion pill that not only kills the unborn child, but it's very dangerous to the women that take it. Lots of complications along with it, and it has no oversight. So that's another step we need to take. So, but this battle for life, you know, we just need to build a culture for life. So I think that's important, mm-hmm. some of the important things. And one thing, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, the most important stuff that happens in the legislature are some of the things that are behind the scenes, you know, things that you stop from happening as opposed to what you get to happen. You know, you don't get press on those things.
Sure.
But sometimes there are bad ideas that go forward, and if somebody doesn't stand up and speak up against them, you know, then they could cause trouble. So that's a big part of it as well.
So you're pro-life. I'm gathering that, Mr. Sherman. I think I'm on there probably. What about Second Amendment? Where do you come down on the Second Amendment?
Oh, yeah, I've always been a strong Second Amendment supporter. you know, my hobby is gunsmithing.
Okay.
And that's just a hobby I have. I have a machine shop in my basement with a, you know, the lathe and the milling machine and all that. I really enjoy metalworking and machining and building some custom revolvers. And, you know, my wife and I are involved in cowboy action shooting. We do competitive shooting in that, if you're familiar with that sport.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that for 25 years. So, you know, but, the real issue is, you know, just our constitutional rights there and, you know, opportunity for self-defense is huge when it comes to the Second Amendment.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, if we can, and by the way, Brad Sherman with me, who is a candidate, GOP Republican candidate for the Iowa governor's race, which comes up really next year. But let's talk about some of the legislation around public schools. Over the last few years, there has been a lot of focus on our public schools, from vouchers to electronic device policies. Vouchers is probably one of the bigger ones that did generate a lot of press. The next one that came along was involving the AEA. But where are you at with our public schools? Do you like the legislation? Do you disagree with some of that legislation? Where do you come down on some of the stuff that's taken place? And how will you govern going forward along our public schools?
Yeah, well, we certainly want our public schools to be successful. We want them to be the best in the nation like they used to be. I think one of the problems that has developed is based on the curriculum. That's just one part of it. We need, when the Common Core curriculum came into our public schools, that created a problem, I believe. I know some people that are, we've got a team that we're starting to build already to really research all this and find out the best steps to take to correct those things. But you mentioned there are several problems with public education that need to be addressed. I mean, I think classroom discipline is a big one. A lot of teachers want to teach and spend their time teaching children, but they're taken up with that sort of thing. So those are some problems that need to be addressed. But you mentioned the the vouchers. I think the most accurate term for that is education savings accounts.
That's actually
different than a voucher, and so that it takes a portion of the money that is spent on each child and makes it available to the parents for private school. Now I know that there are a lot of split opinions on this, but I personally supported that and I would stand for that. I believe education is like any kind of a business. It's whenever you have a monopoly on something and then the quality and you have no accountability, the quality goes, when you have no competition, that's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You have no competition, the quality goes down, the price goes up. But when you bring in competition, then the quality goes up and the price goes down. So I think there's a dynamic there that needs to be in education just like it is in business. And it's kind of a free market type thing. I think that's an element that's very important. Besides the fact that tax money being paid actually is the people's money, and we tend to forget that. And I support the whole voucher thing, the ESA thing.
Yeah, right. Yes, the technical term was education and savings accounts. Most people would know it as vouchers, so that's the way it was discussed. So. Kind of a controversial one. I mean, that was one that generated a lot of topics and a lot of conversation. Now, let's talk tax policy for a minute. I think you came out one time in support of flat tax. Where? How do you feel about the tax policy that Governor Reynolds has so far been successful in moving forward with some of that tax policy? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What do we need to do there?
Well, I like the low taxes. Everyone likes low taxes. And so as far as the flat tax, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, on the federal side of things, back when Mike Huckabee, who's a good friend, and I helped him with his campaign as well,
uh-huh.
he was supporting something called the fair tax.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a state version that we could use, but you'd have to get rid of income tax altogether on the federal level for that to work. So that's kind of out there as well. I think the big issue that I'm hearing as I go around the state is property tax.
Yeah, property taxes is a big one.
Yeah, the flat or the income tax, I mean, it's good to make it low, and that's important, but that really doesn't affect people's bottom line all that much. It's the property tax that affects people's bottom line. And, you know, I think the average house right now, residence is paying around, on average, about $4,200 to $4,500 a year in taxes. And I've been saying for years that it just doesn't seem right that we work all of our lives and most of our lives to pay off our mortgage, and then we still have to rent our house from the government. And so I've got some ideas to address that. You can't take property tax away altogether unless you can find a way to replace it. Because there are a lot of people that depend upon the services that are paid for by property taxes.
Property taxes are important,
But I think for seniors, that's my plan. I think for seniors, we could certainly find a way to make sure they stay in their homes, and mm-hmm. after they retire, their primary residence could be tax-free.
Yeah. So I've had a few conversations about the property tax legislation that was proposed last term, which disproportionately benefited ag landowners and your average homeowner from about $150,000 up to $400,000 homeowners. They bore the brunt of that property tax legislation. So ultimately it was punted and not voted on, which in my opinion is a very good idea, but there definitely needs to be addressed. And the fair tax was hugely promoted by Neil Bortz as well with Huckabee. It's a great idea. I love the fair tax. I think it is fantastic. It'll never pass because it's too simple and it would completely eliminate the IRS. It's basically a national sales tax is what it boils down to. So you pay zero taxes unless you buy something. If you buy something, you pay taxes. Super easy. Alan Greenspan said it would instantly trade our country from a consumer to a saving society. That's a whole different discussion that we can have. It's not going to happen, but it's a great idea. But
yeah, I agree with you. That is a great idea.
Yeah, I like it a lot. But that's, like I said, it's out there and probably will never happen. There's too much control in the tax code for people and politicians. Sorry about that, Mr. Sherman, to give up those all of those different mechanisms to you know, help people here and there. So, but I do think property taxes need to be addressed without a doubt. So. I'd be interested. I like some of the stuff with retirements and no taxes on retirement savings or funds from the state. I think that's a good idea. So interesting stuff. All right. So how's the campaign going overall, Mr. Sherman? Well,
yeah, well, we're pretty encouraged. You know, I mentioned, you know, being a pastor and serving God for 50 plus years. And, you know, so I pray about things. My wife and I pray together about mm-hmm. things. And of course, it's in election time. Everybody prays about things, but I'm just telling you, we've never been more confident in the direction we've heard from God. You know, sometimes that's not clear, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it is very clear, and this is the one of the most clear things we've ever heard that we're supposed to do this. So that's why we got in early. I actually called Governor Reynolds back in last November and told her. I said, we've prayed about this. It's a little awkward to make this call to you, but we just feel like God's made it so clear that I'm going to have to run for governor. And he said, well, I bet that was an awkward call to make. And so, it was a very cordial conversation. I told her I wanted her to hear this from me. It's not because I have some huge issue with her. You know, there's always a few things that you have different views on, but I appreciate what she's done for our state. But I feel like it's a calling. And so that's why I got in early. And then we announced our campaign in February of this year. That was before Governor Reynolds said she wasn't running.
Yeah.
And as I told her, it's not about who's running and who isn't. It's a matter of what we feel like God's leading us to do. So the campaign's going well. I mentioned earlier we've been to 44 counties. We've had over 80 meetings. And I think the reception we're getting is just very encouraging. I just feel like there's a shift happening. We already talked about that a little bit.
Yeah,
people are just looking for something new. And you mentioned politicians control.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even think of myself as a politician. I just want to do the right thing. This idea of running for governor was never on my bucket list, and it was something that, you know, if God had not led us into this, I certainly would not be doing it. I want to do the right thing for the right reason.
Brad Sherman with
me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. We're encouraged about the campaign. Go ahead.
I was going to say Brad Sherman with me, a candidate for governor for the state of Iowa, a Republican candidate. So I'm going to let's have a quick topic about a white hot topic here in this part of the country down in Southwest Iowa, in particular Montgomery County, right where I'm seated. And by the way, next time you're in Montgomery County, stop by, Mr. Sherman. And we'll visit a little more on air in person. But carbon pipelines, eminent domain. This has been all over the news, and in particular, Montgomery County, which has two legs, potentially, of a carbon pipeline, both on the west side of the county and the southern side of the county. What's your thoughts specifically on eminent domain?
Well, for me, it's pretty simple. When you have a private company who's not a common carrier or a product that is not a public utility, you simply should not use eminent domain. That's just the bottom line. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but to me it seems so simple. But, you know, sometimes things are so simple that you need a lawyer to misunderstand it. So I think that's been the case.
You know, I'm gonna have to remember that one, Mr. I like that one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. And you know what? I can tell you that this has been such an interesting issue that it has both liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans on the same page with eminent domain. It is truly remarkable. And that is, you know, quite frankly, your position that you just stated, talking to people throughout the community and throughout Southwest Iowa, I have not heard anyone that disagrees that this is not a use for eminent domain with the carbon pipeline. I've heard no one disagree with that. But yet here we are with the debate still, so.
Well, it's one of those issues that I think has a premise, you know, that's based on the whole idea that CO2 is somehow a pollutant that is hurting our atmosphere. If it wasn't for that and the tax credits that go with it, nobody would be pursuing this. But the bottom line is CO2 is very important for our atmosphere. It's a gas of life. Plants can't grow without it. They grow better when it's even higher. I think that we went to a seminar and the current levels of CO2 in our atmosphere are about 420 parts per million at that time. It was a couple of years ago. But optimum plant growth goes all the way up to 1200 parts per million. I had a top scientist from here in our state tell me, he said, you know, I don't believe there is anything humans can do to produce enough CO2 that's going to really negatively affect our climate or our atmosphere. He said, but I can't say that or I would lose my job. And so that just shows you there's a a lot of people that think this way and understand this, but there's a political agenda behind you. There's a cancel culture that says if you don't line up with this whole agenda, then you're going to get canceled and lose your job, whatever. So these are the kind of things that, you know, that we have to just speak out loud. And if I could tell you a funny story, I called Mike Huckabee. I told him I was going to run for governor, and we were chatting, and we were talking about President Trump and why it is that people like President Trump. And he said, if you go into out here in a small town farm community and you walk into a diner and there's three or four farmers sitting around a table nursing a cup of coffee, suddenly they get quiet, they lean in, and one of them whispers something, and they all lean back and nod their heads. He goes, what they just said in private, Trump says out loud. And, you know, I think that's why people like him. And I think there are a lot of people out there thinking of things that most of us are afraid to say. So I'm committing myself to say some things out loud. You know, we have to start speaking truth. George Orwell said, a quote from him said, in a world, I don't know the exact quote, but it said, in a world filled with lies and deceit, speaking the truth is a revolutionary act. And so I just believe we need a revolution of truth telling and calling things what they are, getting back to common sense government and just doing the things that most people in common sense know is the right thing to do.
So how can people find out more about you, Mr. Sherman, if they want to get in touch with you, if they want to find out how they can be involved in your campaign? How can they reach out to you and learn more about Brad Sherman?
Well, we got a website. It's called Sherman4Iowa.com, Sherman4Iowa. And you can go there and read more about it. There are contact forms there for reaching out to us. You know, our slogan on that website is Restoring the Foundations of Freedom. I've sort of alluded to that. That's not just a slogan we came up with. That's what's been my heartbeat for four decades, you know, trying to inform people. We've got a little booklet we're giving away called The Freedom Quiz. You know, anybody that wants one of those can write us and we'll send you one. That's the place to start, is okay. Right there at that website.
Yeah.
And we're on Facebook as well. I think it's Brad Sherman for Governor on Facebook. Search for it. I'm sure you can find it.
I see that you're going to be in Ringgold County on the 21st at the summertime feed, 6:30.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Yeah, there you go. That's down in.
Sometimes the calendar gets pretty. It's hard to keep it all in my head. I've got my wife and campaign managers that manage that calendar, and they just tell me where to go because I tell you, we've been on the road. I'm so busy, we barely had time to think. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting down to Ringgold. I knew it was on the calendar.
Yeah, 21st. So when you're not campaigning and not, you know, thinking about politics, what do you do for fun? I see you're married, you have four kids, 13 grandkids. What do you do for fun?
Well, we love, of course, spending time visiting our kids. We had one daughter that passed away in 23, and four of her children are up in Algona area, and that was a big shocker to us. And so they just visited recently. So yeah, we love our family and spending time with them. I mentioned the hobby gunsmithing. You know, if I wasn't running for governor, I'd probably be at my shop right now building something. And but when we're not campaigning, you know, I'm still pastoring. I'm not spending a lot of time at it. We got other people taking over those responsibilities, but I'm still preaching on most Sundays. Doing that, I think keeping the Word of God alive in our hearts is absolutely essential. So that it's as much as a good thing for me as it is anybody else. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what's the message this Sunday, or have you put it together yet?
Well, I've been looking at the Beatitudes. We'll see where to go.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to be, so. Very good. Mr. Sherman, it's a pleasure to visit with you. I do appreciate your time greatly. And again, if you're ever down in Southwest Iowa, Montgomery County, Page County, Fremont, get down here somewhere, stop by. We're in Red Oak and love to visit with you again. So I appreciate it.
All right, Aaron. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Brad Sherman with us, candidate for governor, Republican candidate for governor. So look him up again. Brad Sherman for Iowa. You can find his information there.
Heartland Foam Insulators is a spray foam insulation company based in Red Oak, Iowa. Serving Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northwest Missouri since 2000, owner Scott Allensworth and his crew specialize in insulating residential, commercial, and agricultural structures, emphasizing our insulation process that effectively seals buildings to enhance energy efficiency. So, if you need our help, make sure you give us a call at 712-623-4515. Check out our website at heartlandfoam.com. That is Heartland Foam Insulators.
Ready to grow your future with a bank that truly cares? Welcome to Malvern Bank, where we're more than just a bank. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your partners in success. At Malvern Bank, we specialize in ag loans that help our local farmers thrive. Whether you're planting seeds for the future or expanding your current operations, we've got the financing solutions to help your farm flourish. So why wait? Visit us today and see how Malvern Bank can make a difference in your life. Together, let's grow our future. Malvern Bank, we build community. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
KCSI-FM, Valeska, Red Oak, and Atlantic. KOAK-AM, Red Oak, Glenwood, and Shenandoah. Thanks for listening to Country Sunshine Radio.